Dan, we've got an interesting gentleman. He always is, a state senator, Joe Markley, from Southington.
Right. He's in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair, Brad.
Yep.
And this, nothing against artwork, but here the state of Connecticut is broke, financially broke.
This is unbelievable.
And we're about to expend $800,000 for artwork at the new multi-million dollar Litchfield County Courthouse in Torrington. And that said, we welcome Senator Markley to the program. Senator, good morning. Welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning. Good morning.
Pleasure to be with you. Pleasure to be called an interesting gentleman. Thank you very much.
Boy, this is something, though, the way they, you know, they're broke. They do the same thing in Hartford they did. I can't believe the kind of money when we are broke.
Well, you know, it's been going on for almost 40 years. There's a law that says on these major state projects, 1% of the cost of the project, which is no small amount when you're talking about a, you know, $100 million plus project, 1% of the cost of the project is supposed to be spent on public artworks. And, you know, I had a bill to eliminate this last session, and they had a hearing on it, and I testified on it, and I said, I want you to do a thought experiment. Imagine we didn't have this program, and I was coming in here today to say that we ought to initiate it. You'd think I was out of my mind. But because it's on the books, we accept it. And I've got nothing against artwork either. In fact, I think maybe you guys know me well enough to know I'm actually rather a fan of yes. of art. And so we'll go to the Athenaeum, the New Britain Museum, a good deal. But we're broke, exactly what you said. We simply can't afford it. And $800,000 is not a small amount. I can point to a lot of things in the budget that we need desperately that $800,000 would cover.
But why can't they just say we're not going to do it?
Well, because it's the law requires them to do it, and the legislature doesn't have the nerve to do away with anything. You know, this is the same old thing that once a law has passed, it's awful hard to get rid of it. And I testified. I had one member of the committee that was at least sympathetic to what I was saying. But I could see while I was sitting there that nobody was buying it. And you know, the only real constituency for it are the artists that happen to get these grants, which tend to be kind of a group of insiders that are connected to the people that are making the decisions. And I don't begrudge them getting the money. I just say we don't have the money. And if we want public artwork, maybe it ought to be privately funded.
Well, there's an idea. But was there ever any indication given to you, Senator, about why your bill wasn't even brought up for a vote?
Oh, no. There was no indication. I testified on it, and people were, I would almost say, entertained by the fact that I was willing to challenge something that was so long established. And, of course, I suppose the problem is that somebody comes out and says, well, you're against the arts. I could take that. I'm not against the arts to begin with, anything but. But I think the average person, the voters, would be on my side in any case if he could get a vote on such a thing. But there's a bureaucracy up there. You know how it is. And nobody wants to change the way that things are done. They say this is what we've been doing for 39 years, I think it's been the program's been in place, which means over the years the state has paid something like $40 million. For these kinds of artworks, if they're in front of college buildings, state office buildings, even prisons, where there's been big construction projects, they've been required to put up artwork. Sometimes you see them. It tends to be large cast iron kind of sculptural things. Maybe they're worth the money and maybe they're not, but nothing's worth the money when you're broke.
Senator Markley, I want to ask you, you will probably say it's a simple question. It might be. I can't understand, and I am sure there are many listening this morning that can't understand, with the way we are being governed now and have been for many, many years, why can't we change it? Why can't a governor come in here and say, look, I might just be elected for 4 years, this is what I'm going to do. If you don't want me anymore after the 4 years, you kick me out. But at least we'll have some changes so it won't cost the citizens of Connecticut what it's been costing them for the last 30 years.
Well, I've friends with some of the people running for governor on the Republican side, and I've urged a couple of them to do exactly that, Brad, to say, I'm only going to serve one term, because I think that would free you from having to worry about questions of popularity. And frankly, I think if you did that and you stuck to what you promised at the end of the term, the people would clamor for you to run again. But that's got to be the attitude that a governor takes when he comes in. We are in such a bad situation, and what's going to have to be done by a new governor is going to be radical. And I think they're going to need two things: the nerve to do it, and the communication skills to explain to people what they're doing. Because there's going to be squealing and wailing from all sides. But if they can go on TV or go on your show and say, "This is why I'm doing it. Stand with me, and we'll get the job done," I think the people would stick with somebody because they know the desperate situation we're in.
Brad Beck in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair is Senator Joe Markley. We're talking about this law that goes back over 40 years about how in the state of Connecticut, when you have a new state project, et cetera, 1% of the cost of the project is invested in artwork. And you know, I can go on and on about this. But, Senator, when do you think, because we are in this budget mess, we're going to have a budget?
I think that we're going to have a budget sometime shortly after Labor Day. Now, that's a kind of a guess or a kind of a informed observation, if you give me that much credit. But now that this union contract deal has passed on a strict party line vote, I believe the Democrats have their members pretty much in line. And I think that was step one. And now that that's happened, they will be able to force through a budget purely with Democratic votes. It means they have to get every Democrat in the Senate and almost every Democrat in the House. And that budget, I'm confident, will include an increase in the sales tax and maybe other tax increases. And I think it's, you know, it's just another step in the wrong direction.
Unbelievable.
I keep saying we've got to stop going. Before you can go in the right direction, you have to stop going in the wrong direction. And we haven't even stopped yet. They're going to claim, well, it's a smaller tax increase than the last two tax increases. We can't keep increasing taxes, and it's only going to set us up for further deficits because we never collect as much as they anticipate because every tax increase drives people out of state, drives businesses out of state, and adds to our fiscal woes. We've got to put the brakes on, and it's going to be painful, but the sooner we do it, the easier it will be. Every day we put it off, it gets tougher.
How come other states can do it and we can't?
Because they've got the right people in charge, Brad. There's no other way to put it. Dan Malloy has came into office, I think, betting on a big economic recovery that would put everything straight. It didn't happen, and his policies have failed us. And the Democrats have maintained a majority in the legislature. And, you know, we had this hope that the moderate Democrats, there was a group of them, a small group of them in the Senate, that they would stand up against this 10-year extension in the union contracts. And that was a kind of a line in the sand. If they were ever going to stand up, that was the moment. They didn't do it, and I think what it proves is the Democratic Party isn't going to change. No matter what the situation is, they're determined to have more government, higher taxes, more spending. I don't think the Republicans are perfect either. But they're the only hope. If we're going to change direction, we got to try to elect some more Republicans next year, take over the governorship, and take control of the two chambers.
Senator, we're talking with Senator Joe Markley from Southington. Your analysis of the budget situation is my prediction exactly. I've always said that what's going to happen is we'll get a new two-year budget, a strictly party-line vote. It's going to include tax hikes, like you said, the sales tax increase, an expansion of the sales tax so that items currently exempt under it, some of those items will be eliminated from the exemption. And it's going to come down to Nancy Wyman breaking the tie vote in the Senate. That's how I view it.
Well, you were ahead of me on it. I didn't think that was what was going to happen. I actually had hopes. I had hopes, maybe I'm naive, I had hopes that the Republicans put out what I thought was an excellent budget under the circumstances. No tax increases, no cuts to municipal aid, helping to keep the social safety net for people truly in need. I thought we could get a couple of Democrats to come over and join us. Of course, they wouldn't even allow it to come up for a debate. We couldn't get a vote on it. There wasn't even a chance to see if anyone.
Why didn't they allow it to come up for debate at least?
Well, because they were afraid that if people talk about it, they might like it. And if people like it, they might vote on it, and then the Republicans would have a kind of a victory. And I don't care, you know, they can call it a Democrat budget. If it's a budget that does what needs to be done, I'd vote for it no matter who it comes from. But they've been in charge for so long, the idea of letting the other side have a chance doesn't really occur to them. I didn't think they'd be able to line up 18 votes in the Senate to pass a budget. But now that they've done it on the union contracts, I believe they can do it on the budget as well.
Well, that's my sentiment exactly, that once they've committed to the union contracts, then you've almost got to commit to a Democrat budget that includes sales tax hikes, because I don't think people understand, Senator. I know that Senate President Fasano did it and explained it very well during his comments on the floor of the Senate the day that contract was approved, that anybody who supports that contract has to support a tax hike. The two go hand in glove.
Well, that's right. And also the three moderates who capitulated and supported the contracts specified 12 things that they demanded. And those demands will be included in the budget, and it will make it impossible for them to vote against it. The trouble is the demands, and one of them is that no CBAC agreement ever be extended for more than 4 years. At the very moment that they're voting to extend the contract for 10 years,
I know, I couldn't,
they're saying,
couldn't believe
a decade from now, we're going to start being good. This was the moment to stand up, not to make some arrangement that's going to kick in when most of the legislators that voted for it aren't even there anymore.
Senator, do you believe that we could eventually get to the point that where we have a budget every 2 years, that we talk about contracts every 2 years and not extend them for 10 years? Could we ever do that?
Of course we can do it. We need to have the people with the will to do it. There's no way you can't make laws to make legislators responsible. It's up to the people to vote for legislators that will be responsible. They've got to find, these days, you've got to go out and find some people that are just cheap by nature and send them to the Capitol. Because that's what's needed. We need some old Yankees that know how to count a penny, and because these are the days to hunker down. It's not like it was. You remember the 80s when the money was rolling in.
Yep.
The state could do more. We can't do it in these times. We've got to retrench. We've got to allow this economy to recover. And that's not going to happen overnight. That's going to be a matter of years.
Senator, how's your campaign for lieutenant governor going?
Hey, it's great. We've been, focus number one is fundraising, and we're more than halfway there. Anybody who's interested, my website is markley4lg.com. And once we get past that, which I think we're going to do in the next couple of months, we will be focused on putting together a grassroots organization, not so much for my benefit, but for the whole ticket, because I feel if we can't elect a Republican governor next year, I don't see any hope for this state, frankly.
Wow. And we got a couple of them out there.
We got a bunch. And
You got some tough Democrats,
too. I like
too.
Them all.
And you got some tough Democrats, though, too. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. We've got some tough Democrats. And frankly and honestly, I'd say some, you know, I know Kevin Lembo. I think he's a smart man and he's a good man. He just subscribes to a philosophy that I don't think is going to work. And that's what people have to decide in the end. Not, I like this guy, I don't like this guy. What does he or she believe? And is that what I believe is going to make the state right again? And we need fiscal conservatives. We need people who say tax increases are not the answer.
No. Well, we'll see what unfolds, Senator, but it's always very informative. And here we go with that artwork again. And I hope you make it a platform as a lieutenant governor to repeal that at some point.
About $800,000.
I'm happy to talk about it. If I could get another bill, I'll get you up there to testify on it too,
Dan. Amen.
I'll come with him.
Okay, great.
Thanks, Senator.
Thanks a million.
Take care.
My pleasure. Thank you.